Well, thank you for joining us here at Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're kind of double-teaming this, and we've got a great verse we're going to be looking at today. It is in John 15, verses 1 and 2. So if you have a Bible nearby, I think you'll want to join us. I want to begin by reading this passage. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." And by the way, this study is called the vine dresser. Verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the vine dresser, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he, the vine dresser, prunes it so that it may bear more fruit." In this session, we want to talk about the role or the ministry of God the Father in our salvation and in our sanctification. We often think of Christ, who is known as the Savior of the world, John 4:42. But we need to understand that God the Father also acts as a Savior, as well as does God the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity have a saving role in our life. And here, Jesus emphasizes the ministry of God the Father. Now, there's so much more that the Father does than what is found in this one verse, and no one verse can contain everything. We know from other verses it was the Father who chose us before the foundation of the world. The Father sent the Son and sent the Holy Spirit into the world. Here, the reference is upon His work in our lives within time. And so He says, "My Father is the vine dresser." So this speaks of the first person of the Trinity that we know as God the Father, and Jesus is the Son of God to God the Father. Now, they are co-equal and co-eternal. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. And yet, in Jesus' incarnation, He assumes a role of submission and obedience to the Father, and that's why He refers to Him as the Father. He also is a father to you and me who are believers in Jesus Christ, and this implies that you and I will be in submission to the Father and in obedience to the Father, just like Jesus. Now, He is the vine dresser. That's a term we don't always use, and a vine dresser was really the one, the gardener, if you will, who oversaw the care of the branches. And he would walk up and down the rows of the vineyard, and he would be continually inspecting the branches to be looking for fruit and to be looking to see if they were healthy and if they were growing. And so that leads us into verse 2. He says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." Now, we might initially think, oh, okay, well, this is a believer who's just not bearing fruit. Well, that's not the case. Jesus said this immediately after Judas just left the upper room to perform his betrayal of Jesus and to paint a picture for the disciples so that they would know, hey, nothing has deviated from the plan of God. God has everything under control. Jesus says this so they will understand the role of Judas. He was a non-fruit-bearing branch. He was not a true branch. He was a false branch. He was an unconverted disciple. And it says here that the vine dresser takes it away, meaning cuts it off and throws it into the fire. And in verse 6, it says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So it's pretty sobering. That says that if someone is not bearing the fruit of Christ's likeness, they are obviously a false branch and will be cast into the fire of hell. Not much of a devotional thought, but it's the truth. Sorry about that. And then at the end of verse 2, here's the good part, Kent. "And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit." So God the Father, as He's watching over our lives, He wants there to be more productivity a spirituality in our lives. And so he steps into our lives, and in certain seasons, he just cuts us and prunes us back. Now, he does that by the use of his word, which is a sharp two-edged sword. He does it with discipline. At times when we have stepped away from his word, and he will come in and chasten us. And that's cutting back so there'll be greater growth. And then at other times, just according to providence, according to his wisdom, he just will remove something from our life in order to stimulate greater growth. And whatever that was something that was hindering our growth into Christ's likeness. And Kent, you and I both have had the Lord step into our lives at times and remove something that had become too important and that was holding back our spiritual growth. And by taking that back, it allowed greater fruitfulness in our lives. So, Kent, this is our study, and God is so wise and good to take away things from us so that there can be greater growth.
Oh, there's so much in this.
There is.
This is,
Kent.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
We have about 2 or 3 minutes for questions.
Yeah, 3 minutes and 40
seconds.
3 minutes,
40 seconds for questions. So let me start with, can you, and again, I'd love to apply this, but can you take just a few moments to talk about how this verse talks about how God is sovereign in our lives and how he rules in our lives on all these details, I guess, which I guess is a great comfort to us.
Well, God's sovereignty is his supreme authority over every circumstance and over every event, really even over every destiny.
Which are all these branches.
Well, and these branches here in verse 2 are both unconverted branches that have just a superficial relationship, and then true branches that have a genuine relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And God the Father is sovereign over both. Mm-hmm. And with the unconverted branches, he just cuts them off and throws them in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's eternal punishment.
Mm.
And then over the true branches, he's sovereign over them. And he knows how to bring about a greater spiritual growth in their life. He won't let us lag. He won't let us become dormant or just remain on a plateau. He wants us to get to the next level of spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. So he knows how to come in and make just the right cut, like a gardener would prune back a branch. Mm-hmm. It's not to hurt the branch.
Sure.
It is really to help the branch to produce more fruit. And so, Kent, this is another example of really we grow more spiritually as a result of adversity than prosperity. That it's adversity when there's been a painful cut in our lives, something taken away, going through a difficult ordeal, that God designs that trial for there to be a growth spurt in our lives spiritually.
Well, I think a lot of us would say, well, I don't like being cut. I don't like being pruned. I don't want anybody.
Well, I don't like it either.
I don't like it either. However, as you mentioned, God's sovereignty, how should this comfort us and really give us great joy if we step back and look at the bigger picture?
Well, it's like James 1:2 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect, meaning mature and complete, lacking in nothing. So this is God's wise design to build up our endurance and our perseverance and to build up our spiritual stamina and strength by putting us through a trial or a storm of life, we would say. I mean, Kent, you used to play football. I used to play football. I mean, it's almost like weightlifting and going through conditioning.
Yeah.
It's all to build up your muscles.
Yeah.
And God puts us through trials.
And we're better for it.
And we're better for it. Absolutely. We don't like it. I don't like it. You don't like it.
Yeah.
But the end result,
we like it in the end.
We like it in the end because it makes us more like our Savior, who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He went through it as well. Well, this has been a good study. It's a study Kent and I have needed for our own lives, and I trust for you as well. May the Lord give you discernment to be able to see how God the Father, the vine dresser, is making surgical cuts in your life for your greater good to make you more like Christ. Well, may God richly bless you this day. We look forward to joining you our next study. God bless you.